dialed in to Joe Bruker's Tactical Muskie Podcast with your host, legendary angler and Hall of Famer, Joe Bruker.
All right, folks, welcome to Joe Bruker's Tactical Muskie Podcast. Joe, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, bud. How are you? I'm doing just fine. It's the middle of summer here, and the weather's nice, and we're going to be heading for the muskie bash pretty quick here. I mean, what could be better?
Just a couple days, and you're out there running around. Joe's running around, keeping the roads hot, doing what he does best, fishing. And, you know, me and you were talking, we were texting earlier, sort of about what's happening with me in Tennessee. I just went through this thing where I was calling you for advice. What do I need to do to like dial in on night muskies? What do I need to do to dial in on some of this later evening bite, right? And, yeah, you know, the seasonality down here is far more progressed than up north. And every year you give me a little kick in the pants. Steve, you need to focus on this. You need to focus on that. And I think we're starting to get seasonally into that up north, right? Where we're getting into that pattern where like, you know, the nighttime is the right time if you're Joe Bruker. You know, you sort of invented night muskie fishing. So I want you, you know, I would love to hear, because you were saying you want to riff on that. But I would say this, one thing I did want to ask you about, because I was super excited today. I saw the press release you put out on the Psycho Froggy.
Yeah. Yeah, the Psycho Froggy, it's kind of cool. We're off the subject a little bit, but I'll just hit it real quick.
Uh-huh.
We opened this. Our dream was to bring all the manufacturing back to Wisconsin.
Right.
You know, and so we actually bought all the paint booths and all the paint setups, all of our fixtures and everything from the guy who used to paint them for us.
Right.
When he died and his family closed the businesses, we bought it to Wisconsin, and then, you know, it took a while to get it all going, but anyways, the long and the short of it is the Psycho Froggy is kind of one of the first productions out of the Wisconsin facility by our new painter, and he came up with the pattern. So when I saw it, I thought, man, that's Psycho looking. He goes, yeah, it's kind of like a frog. I said, yeah, it's like Psycho Froggy.
Man, what a cool color, man. I know it's divergent, but I saw the press release today on the app. That's awesome stuff. So let her rip, Joe. It's your podcast. It's your dance floor. What are we talking about? Beating the heat, beating the summer pressure. What are you doing?
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting. Back in my guiding days, you know, it was one of the first times I ever really ran into this crazy fishing pressure thing, you know, mm-hmm. where it wasn't just... I should more clarify boating traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wasn't all about just fishing pressure. It was about boating traffic. And now, of course, that was back in the 80s, 70s and 80s. Now, of course, it's just like, you know, it's 10. Yeah. Oh, it's amplified beyond, you know, a double stack of Marshalls.
Yeah.
Wow. So anyways, you know, I had to find a way as a guide to get an edge on my competition, one, two, become way more productive, and three, I was running another business, the tackle business, and you know, in Muskie Hunter magazine, mm-hmm. kind of at the time too. So I needed to find a way to be able to fish at odd times and still keep my guide business alive. And frankly, Steve, that was also when I first started my TV show.
Right. So you got irons in the fire. I know the feeling. It's crazy.
I got a bunch of irons in the fire. You know, I'm in my, you know, my 30s and my early 40s, and I'm just, you know, I'm just burning the candle at all ends. And what I realized was, you know, and then we were doing these double parties. You know, you do this with your guide parties now.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, you're doing, so I'd have so many bookings that I'm doing double parties, and I always noticed that my evening party always seemed to be catching the most fish, or, you know, a fish or a single opportunity right at the end of the trip, mm-hmm. you know, right before dark or just after dark. And I'm, you know, I was out with some good clients one time, and we went into dark a little more, and oh my gosh, you know. Mm-hmm. We're catching these fish after dark. I, you know, muskies don't feed at night, do they? I guess I found out they do. So, you know, it morphed into, eventually what it morphed into was Find the busiest boat. Here's the thing. Find the busiest boat lakes, boat traffic lakes.
Nice. Yeah.
Seek I knew which out one the was,
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, but seek out the worst ones, like the Minocqua chain and the Eagle chain and, whatever, North Twin, whatever, the Manitouish chain. Seek out the busiest boat traffic waters. Okay. I had my client meet me at 9 p.m. So right. We wouldn't, 9 p.m. So we'd barely get, we'd be putting our boat in. Everybody's pulling out. And Joe, what are you doing? You guys going out catfishing or what? So anyways, we'd be putting our boat in and everybody else is taking the boat out.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
And this is just God, I love, me and you are just thicker than thieves. Something we got to talk about real quick is some of this is from managing the schedule of you got so much going on. You go, I can catch them anytime. And I have these funny moments when my clients are like, we're seriously meeting at this time. I'm like, yeah, we have to, which is, I think it's that neat thing that puts pressure on you. Like you already know how to catch fish, but you go, I have, you're doing Joe Bucher Outdoors from starting on the kitchen table to you have a factory to Beth is running that to you have a magazine where I empathize where it's like, all right, I got three different baits. I've got Musky 360. Yep. I've got, and it's so funny because you just like at a certain point, you just go, I'm going to throw the chips down. We'll catch them anytime we can, which is like ballsy as it gets, which I love. I just had to say that because I think it's so amazing where you're just reinventing the wheel, and for the guys that don't know, Joe, and where I'm getting at, this didn't happen before you really started doing this, where no one was talking nighttime muskies.
No. Got to understand too that my guide business started in a community where everything was real structured.
Uh huh.
You had American Plan. Well, you had American Plan Resorts, and you picked your client up at, this time, a little after 8 o'clock, right after breakfast, and, you had to have them back by, 5:30-ish, because dinner was served at 6, and there was no fluctuation there, and that's the way the guide business was run, and, they even tried to fluctuate prices and everything, regulate prices and everything. There was no room for error. But I had, I got 12, 15, 18 employees, working at the tackle business, and I'm trying to edit a magazine and blah, 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 blah. But the other thing was I couldn't go 8, 10, 12-hour trips anymore. So I'm doing this, and this evening fishing morphed into night fishing, 3-hour trips. Now, this is interesting because as soon as I really dedicated time to doing that, that's when I really studied and recognize the moon thing, because here I'd be out fishing at night, all of a sudden, as a hypothetical, the full moon would come up, all of a sudden the bite would shut off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and then like whoa, wait a minute, it got dark, we're on fish, and now we're in about 35, 40 minutes in the darkness, and the moon comes up and the bite's over, and then you fish another 2 hours and there's no bite. Yes, I was taking notes and all that kind of stuff, but this is how it happened. And then it morphed into it. I fine tuned it into here's the baits, here's the spots, and here's the tactics. And that's what this Tactical Muskie podcast is all about today is, how do you dial in on muskies, on night muskies? I'll leave you with a couple statistics that will really, really shake up our listeners here today. Think about this. The first year I moved to Eagle River from Boulder Junction, when we moved to Eagle River to go get to a bigger community for tackle manufacturing, because we just didn't have the workforce in the little town of Boulder Junction. So we moved to Eagle River. The workforce thing was great, where everything's working really well, but I don't know any of the lakes over there. Right. So what's Bucher going to do now? He's got to go on all the strange water. Well,
right.
I just picked what I did. Here's what you should do, my listening friends here out in our audience, is you pick out one body of water pick out four spots. That's it. Four spots. And you fish them between, you know, dusk and midnight.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And I went out on North Twin my first year. First year in Eagle River, didn't know North Twin. I did not fish North Twin before. My first year in Eagle River, not knowing North Twin, fishing just four spots. I caught 211 muskies. My boat did. No, 211 between 4th of July and Labor Day. So that, you know, that didn't count May or June. It did not count the fall. It was just from 4th of July to Labor Day, boated 211 muskies, had a 21 fish 2 day. And, you know, 2 days, 21 fish, you know, just literally blew the doors off of what, you know, everything. And you know, caught some of the biggest fish, you know, really in my early guide career. And it was, so the shift of night fishing, not only, you know, up my numbers, dropped my overall time on the water, but also bought up the average size of the fish.
Nice.
That's, you know, that's a big thing too, is, you know, on those bodies of water. Well, you're going to be up in northern Wisconsin here at the end of the week. A
couple hours, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it gets busy up there in the summer, yes. And you know, now you got jet skiers and water skiers and tournaments and everything else. Well, I mean, here, one last thing. You know, Spence Petros, you know, at the end of his last days of Fishing Facts, said, you know, I got experience to see, you know, you got to be kidding me. It can't be that good. Uh-huh. I says, it is that good, especially right now. So he comes up, and he's going to be the speaker at a muskie tournament there in Eagle River, you know, the big world championship muskie tournament. And the bite is really tough for the tournament guys. You know, it's just right. been really tough. And, you know, there's like 1,000 anglers on all those waters. And Spence gets done with his seminar and his speech at the tournament. And the guy asks him, where are you going to go now? He's, you know, he goes, why don't you stop and have a drink with us? He's, no. He says, I got to meet Booker. We're going out night fishing.
Ah.
And that night, Petros and I caught 10 muskies. You know, and I got one just a hair shy of 50. And we also caught 10 walleyes.
Wow.
And you can imagine the size of the walleyes, you know, catching them on musky lures. So those are the kind of statistics. Those are the kind of big nights you can have. And I want to talk about one more thing before I get into the tactics. Uh-huh. What night fishing does for our musky 360 viewers, what night fishing, the advantages night fishing give you are so many, but what it really does too is that it gets you the muskie on the day when you can't catch them any other way.
Yep. You net bing 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 bing.
Yeah. And you and I've done that, you know, even on Lake of the Woods. Right? I mean,
One strike all day, or you're looking at the client and you say, meet me at 7 o'clock, and they go, I thought we'd meet at 7 AM, and you go, meet me at 7 o'clock. I know better. You ain't going to make it till it matters.
Right. So on those, what we're saying here, folks, is on those days, super cold fronts, you know, what about on a cold front? Will they bite in a cold front at night? Yes, it's the kind of the only, sometimes there's a small window. You're going to get one chance, one fish. One chance, one fish. Now, sometimes you'll be surprised and it's more. Rarely will you go out on a night outing once you know where to go and what to use. Rarely will you ever get skunked. And you know, when I got that thing dialed in my last, I would say, 10 to 12 years of guiding, I could literally go out on, you know, I'll tell you, it's been written about in books, you know, Steve Heiding's book, you know.
Yep.
He dedicated a chapter tonight, and I predicted where we would catch our fish. It's right in the story. What time we would catch our fish, and a couple times I even told them, you know, not only what we would catch them on, but how big the fish would be. That's how dialed in you can get on this night bite. And
let me ask and, you this, know, Joe. So
yeah, go ahead.
We're talking, you know, somewhere Jurassic, prehistoric, paleolithic times. This is before we had double tens. We didn't have these monster baits that, you know, it's this
right.
It's the, you know, it some of these listeners, this is like ancient history. What were you using? What's like the primary? What do we need to use? What are the basic tools we can get the job done with on a night bite? Like, is it big? Because you didn't have double 10, so what are you getting? What are you doing to get that big thump, big vibration, and get the, call that fish in or up?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it, but it was not a big blade bite at night for me on the lakes right. I was fishing. It was a crankbait bite, and that is where I really honed in the jointed depth reader. The jointed shallow reader too, you know, on the stained lakes, you know, this like the chain, the Three Lakes chain, the Eagle chain, you know, high coontail and weed growth. I jointed crankbaits, number one night fishing weapon for me by far. Not topwater, not blades. Now, did we catch fish on topwater? Yeah, but not that many. Surprisingly, not that many. Mm-hmm. Did we catch fish on blades? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But maybe at the most 15 to 21, 22%. So in other words, it was primarily a crankbait bite on the waters I fished.
All right.
I think that what guys are doing today with blades at night is great. Even, you know, big soft plastics you're catching fish on at night, and that works too. Mm-hmm. But, I really doubt that they would outfish a jointed crankbait. And I'll tell you, I've proven this with friends many times, you know, over the course of time, even after all the guiding, all these, you know, mm-hmm. even more recent years on no matter where I fish, if I get a tough bite, for example, on Canadian waters, I immediately, you know, I immediately go into Dracula mode.
Well, the scary thing is, you know how to drive like Dracula in the pitch black. We talked about that the other day, which is, if you're going to go fishing with Joe Booker, take a change of underwear.
Well, folks, we had a lot of fun one night. We stayed too long, too far from home, because we moved a big fish. So Steve and Tyler Andrews and I went way down. On Lake of the Woods, you don't have all these landmarks and lights and everything.
Black.
Yeah, and you know, when you're driving your boat, even with all the sonar equipment and whatnot, and all the mapping and GPS coordinates and tracking and everything, it really still blinds your night vision. You know, the sonar lighting. And I think what happened that night is, maybe it was a challenge from you or Tyler that said,
nobody wanted that. Nobody, you just turned, you, I didn't want that. Okay, I can promise you that. You just said, what had happened, we burnt the batteries down and you just turned them off. I'm like, we're doing 50 miles an hour on the rest in peace.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's rest in peace, Evinrude. We're just hauling ass across Lake of the Woods. And I've told the story before, but I was sitting there going, well, you know what? It's not the worst way to die. Joe Booker ran you into rock, and you go, well, he died a musky life, you know? So.
Steve, I remember exactly why I turned everything off. Remember, every time I'd hit a wave, I had a short, and every time I hit a wave, that sonar would turn off on me.
Yep.
You remember that?
It was sketchy,
What the heck with it? Yeah. So I just left the sonars off, turned the running lights off, and said, I'm just going to use the force and get us home.
That's where Master Joda came from. What I'm not trying to steer you too much at your radio, but I brought that up for the sole purpose of, and I've had clients ask me, how do you night fish? And I say familiarity, right?
Yep. Yep.
Take it. That's advice. Because you know what I'm talking. You can't just go out, I've never been on this lake, and we're going to night fish. No.
This is a great leading question, and that's why you're on my podcast.
Yeah, well, thanks.
You really do. You do a great job of this. Here's my advice. Clean your boat up. Get rid of all the lures that are laying around. Take one rod, maybe two.
Yeah.
You pre-rig one with a jointed depth reader, maybe another one with a big blade. Your boat is clean. Go out on a lake you know really well. You know, so in other words, before you start, learn the water. In fact, go out and if you don't know the water well, go out and mark, now with modern day electronics, I mean, go out and just waypoint three or four good spots, mm-hmm. or spots where you've seen muskies. You know, that's another yeah. thing, by the way, folks. We'll go back on how many videos do I have on my YouTube channel? And you've watched on also on my TV show over the years. I mean, it's almost 36. Countless.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, where I go, okay, I'm going back on this fish after dark and go back on this fish. Yep. Boom. And what you do is you familiarize yourself with a couple of good spots. Even when I'm fishing big waters, what I'll do, folks, when I'm fishing bigger waters like Lake of the Woods or Eagle Lake or in some of these bigger waters is I will hang close by a spot where I had a big fish going and wait for the right time, wait for darkness to slip back up on him. You know, if I raise a big one, I definitely want to go after that fish one more time in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll tell you, I don't know how many times I've done that, you know, where I've gone back on a spot and where I've had just awful daytime fishing, where I've just struggled and struggled and struggled. Right. And, you know, probably the fish we're going to use on the promo for this particular this night fishing thing, you know, that fish was a classic example of where I'm fishing with Chris Godorsky for like 3 days. And I had not boated a fish in 3 days. Chris, I think, caught one or two, but I hadn't boated a fish in 3 days. And you know me, I get really ugly after I don't catch a fish. After
he does. Real son of a bitch, folks.
Oh,
Grumpy Booker, we call him.
Oh, I'm the worst, you know. So anyways, you know, we're on our way home, and I'm just... we're heading home, we're going to go grab a beer. And Godorsky says, you mean to tell me Mr. Night Fisherman is not going to try one spot on the way home? And you know, I said, no, we're just going home. And all of a sudden, I mean, it's a great story. I mean, I did do an article on this. But in fact, the YouTube video is called Moonrise Monster, I think is the name of the YouTube video. Mm-hmm. So the moon is coming up. The full moon is coming up. And now Chris Godorsky's really on me. You mean to tell me the guy who wrote the book on moons and night fishing is not going to stop a warm spot? And I'm going, all right. So I just basically kind of just let off on the throttle and made a right turn to a nearby spot. Put the trolling motor down, get up on the bow. Chris Godorsky makes one cast with a blade, by the way, mm-hmm. and snags it up and snags it in the rock pile. So now I'm really ticked. Right. You know?
And now I gotta go in and get this, yeah.
Yeah, so now I got my trolling motor's banging on the rocks, and I'm going, man, why did we just go in for this beer? Blah, 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 blah. Right. And he gets the thing off. He finally shakes. He's just, I'm off. So he's reeling his bucktail in, and I make a jointed shallow reader. Hello.
Yep.
I make a cast off the windward side of a reef. And, you know, just like a point in it. I'm just moving the boat out now after Chris snagged the blade up. And I made three or four cranks on the crankbait. I felt it tick a boulder, you know, and I let it rise up a little bit, and boom, and I caught, you know, 52 incher.
That'll do. Let me ask you this.
I think I answered your question, but basically, absolutely, what you want to do is learn your water well, and don't try to do too much. Just mm-hmm. fish a couple of spots and get familiar. Like you said, familiarity. Get familiar with, you know, how to work the boat at night. And one other thing, by the way, talking about familiarity,
mm-hmm.
you will learn the water and your spots better. You'll just get this vibe, like this feel for them in the dark, because you're relying on different senses after dark.
Two things. So something I came up with, you were talking about wrote the book on it. I'm going to ask you this question in a second. But one thing, and this is, you know, you weren't even guiding at this point when you could get your hands on glow sticks. A tip I'd throw out there is if I'm marking a weed edge, and I've said this in the past, let's say we're going to fish a weed edge or a rock hump, I'll go in right before sunset if I've moved a big fish and still drop old school marker buoys with glow sticks on them. Okay, I got a red one on the right, a green one on the left, or blue or pink. So I have some spatial awareness where I'm not staring at that screen and doing that eye transition the entire time. right?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, you know, that's a real good point.
That's a little old school, but you know, you said wrote the book on it, and it is a crankbait secrets aficionado, as I call myself. Seems like trolling was sort of part of the game plan on North Twin back in the day. Would that be correct?
No.
Really?
No, it was casting? All casting. So those 211 muskies between 4th of July and Labor Day, my first year in Eagle River, were all,
really?
All casting. What about, all casting fish. Yeah.
What about, so when I think, and it's funny, I'm learning in real time, and I love this stuff. So when I think like a jointed DR at night, I'll do a lot of slow 2.2, 2.4 trolling with that on a 30, 35 foot line. Did you implement that all at night, or was that just your game plan?
Oh yeah. Absolutely. And still do. And you know, what I found out also is that, you know, not only does trolling work for, you know, on somebody's water, you know, it's still the best method of taking fish because of the depth they hang out hang at. And, but also, you know, seasonally, I mean, man, some of my best night fishing, trips trolling were in the fall.
Okay.
At night in the fall, you know. I remember an old trip, one of my favorite old guide customers, he was a dentist and his name was Louis Ike. And Louis Ike and I, you know, we casted and trolled all day and didn't have much action. And then, you know, started to snow right before dark. And we could see, this is like first week of November, and I could see Cisco's dimpling the surface just outside this rocky, deep inside turn area where, you know, they were spawning. And I said, Louis, let's go make a few patrolling passes through there. And we murdered them. I mean, we had doubles on. And it's really awesome. You know, the thing is, you know, what my Tactical Muskie podcast is all about is keeping things, you know, giving our Muskie 360 listeners something they can use right now, and something that's simple that they can execute, you know, and have success with it. And this night fishing thing, you know, hey, put $100 on the bar and say, can you catch a muskie? I dare you to catch a muskie. And if I can pick the time, you know, time and place and lure, you know, I know there's a couple spots where I can just go out there and I'll throw a jointed depth reader between 9 and 10:30 at night on just about every night, and I'm going to score on one fish.
Yes, you know? That confidence, absolutely. Let me ask you this: you've already talked about it a bunch, right? So it's no secret you're talking about North Twin. People are going to be curious. Yes. I'm not talking about spot burning. What would be a Booker nighttime game plan on North Twin? A lot of people are coming to the bash this week. They're going to be coming. They're going to be buying depth raiders. They're going to be buying jointed depth raiders. They're going to be asking you questions. I've got this weekend. Maybe we got a cold front comes through. How am I effective on, say, North Twin? What do I do? Where do I go?
Go fish. Go find three reefs in the middle of the lake, like Ozarks Bar, for example, Holiday Bar, you know, famous spots like that. Ozarks, Holiday, Long's Point, places like that. You know, go out and look them over before dark. Put your glow sticks out there. You know,
and for your dance club, yeah.
Snap your depth reader on and just start making. What I used to do, for example, on a reef like Ozarks Bar is just 360 it.
Yeah.
You know, I just go around the whole barb and when, you know, on a bad night, I catch one fish off it. On a good night, I may catch five or six off of that barb. You know.
Either
you
of those know, are good could, nights, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, that's the thing. You know, let's talk quickly also about safety and lighting.
Yeah,
because those are definitely concerns. Now, do I fish with the running lights on? You know, I tend to more now than ever because boat traffic seems to, you know, just continue into night more. I like to fish in total darkness, and I wear a headlamp. you know, today's boats, a lot of these boats, you know, you can hit a switch and your whole boat lights up around you. And that's great. That didn't happen back in the days when I really first got into this. So we just used, you know, a handheld floodlight and, you know, for landing them as a guide, and headlamps. And, you know, I usually had my clients wearing headlamps too. So when we did, you know, need to rig a bait or unhook a fish, or landing a fish, you know, boom, as soon as one's on goes the headlight, your headlamp. But on the running lights thing, you know, legally, you know, if you're running, if you're moving, you should have those running lights on. And if a boat, any kind of a boat is nearby or heading across the water, make sure you turn them on, or leave them on if you're at all concerned. But you know, it's amazing to me though, and all those night fishing trips, how many people be running around out there with no running lights on?
Yeah.
Dangerous.
You say that, and I had a moment of pause because I had no incidents this year. Last year I had clients out, same thing. I knew they're on a deep, they're at 12 foot deep on this deep weed edge. We had to do it at night. We're casting. I have my nav lights on, and I hear a motor. I can't really place where it's at. And the guy, I mean, 10 feet would be generous before he stopped. Yeah. So, you know, when I'm guiding whatever you want to call it, you're fishing in the boat.
Yep.
Have a spotlight there, because you know, I'd rather just put a spotlight on people. They go, whoa.
I used to do the same thing. Unfortunately, in one incident, I put a spotlight on, I was looking, you know, I'm running, and I put a spotlight on a pontoon boat in the middle of the lake, and they caught a couple in the middle of doing something they shouldn't have been doing.
Well, on that note, what else would you add to night fishing, Joe?
You take a
jointed depth rater and a camera.
Well, you know what's funny is I remember when I first came out with the depth rater, and it got real popular for Nile perch. Remember how popular Nile perch fishing was a few years ago? Guys were going to Egypt and catching these giant Nile perch. And the travel agent said you need a passport and a depth rater, you know, if you want to catch a Nile perch. Nice. If you want to really score on some of these hard, you know, big boat traffic lakes that are deep and clear, and they're, you know, they're great for water skiing and everything, you know, get, snap on a depth rater. And learn two or three spots, and you know, get ready to call the taxidermist.
Fantastic. Well, Joe, it doesn't get much better than that. That's as clear cut and dry. Joe Bucher will be at the Muskie Shop this coming weekend. Was it the 15th? Today's the 11th. So in just a few hours, you want to come out and see Joe. Any other final tips you give on the Tactical Muskie Podcast for anybody that's trying to score a summer muskie?
You know, if you can't do the night fishing thing, I say your best way to catch a fish right now, if you don't want to do the night fishing thing, is first light.
There you go.
Before all those jet skiers and water skiers wake up.
Sober up, you say.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing you, and seeing all our friends at the Muskie Bash this weekend. It's going to be a blast.
Absolutely. Well, folks, Joe will be back here shortly with something else spectacular. Guys, if you want to catch a night muskie, hook up a jointed depth rater, straight depth rater, or, you know, even if you want to get new school, I would say a Bigfoot, you know, bucktail, but that's me. You got a lot of options, Joe. One thing I got to interject before I shut her down is that you have a black on black mag 10, which is kind of nasty. And that's probably my favorite night bait, because,
you know, that's interesting you should say that, because I've also done really well on that. We call it the midnight special, but I've all done really good on black on following fish that just won't strike anything else, even during midday.
Yeah, well, you know, the other thing, goodness, I could, we're not going down the rabbit hole on this, but something I would say is this: the algae bloom is coming whether you want to admit it or not, and black on black smokes fish on some lakes up north when the algae's in too. I've had really good luck on that. So anyway, I'll shut up, guys. If you want to hear some more tips and tricks, come see Joe Bucher at the Muskie Shop Bash July 15th this weekend. Jay. Jay. I'm so used to saying Jay, and it's Joe, and it's Jay, and it's Joe. But anyway, Joe, thank you so much, and we'll follow up here very shortly with another Joe Booker's Tactical Muskie podcast.